Tehran.
Palestinians in Gaza, including resistance factions, non-governmental organizations, academics, as well as civil society groups, held a national conference on Sunday to condemn the Aqaba summit. The meeting between Israeli and the Palestinian Authority officials was held in the Jordanian Red Sea Resort of Aqaba. It was also attended by representatives from the United States and Egypt. The spokesman for Hamas resistance movement said that the Aqaba summit aims to cover up the Israeli regime's ongoing crimes against the Palestinian people.
The Aqaba Security Summit will only harm the Palestinian cause and aims to abort the simmering uprising in the West Bank and Al-Quds. The participation of the Palestinian Authority in this summit only indicates the resumption of security cooperation with the occupying regime. We call on all countries to hold an international conference to support the rights of the Palestinian people.
The summit comes only days after Israeli regime forces killed around a dozen Palestinians and wounded some 90 others in the occupied West Bank city of Nablus. In its final communique, the conference in Gaza stressed the importance of increasing all forms of resistance against the Israeli occupation and protecting occupied Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque against all Israeli plots.
All forms of resistance against the Israeli occupation all over Palestine are legitimate and will continue to increase despite all conspiracies and challenges. We also warn the Israeli regime against playing with fire and violating the sanctity of Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Palestinians maintain that the Aqaba summit aims to sow seeds of division among Palestinians and to suppress resistance groups in the occupied West Bank.
The Aqaba meeting, which is going to be held today with the sponsorship of the Americans, Egypt, Jordan, and that will include Israel and the Palestinian Authority, is intended, in my opinion, to resume security coordination between the Palestinian Authority and Israel. And also, I think it's intended to crack down on Palestinian resistance.
Many Palestinians believe that the Palestinian Authority has become a haven for small Palestinian factions that have long abandoned the path of resistance against the Israeli occupation. Since the start of this year, over 60 Palestinians, including 13 children, have been killed by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank. Analysts say the Aqaba summit will only give Tel Aviv the green light to kill and maim more Palestinians. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
In the limelight.
New reports say some U.S. states want to bring back child labor instead of giving adult workers better pay. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, amid an ongoing push for higher wages by U.S. workers, including union-building efforts and a national railway strike that was averted last December, some states are finding ways to undercut the working class. One method, as Business Insider reports, is for the U.S. to start allowing children aged 14 to 17 into the workforce. The federal government has said this practice is already increasing in an illicit fashion. In the last month, Republican lawmakers in Iowa and Minnesota have introduced legislation that would allow exceptions to existing child labor regulations. This is aimed at ameliorating the ongoing labor shortage in the U.S., which is also plaguing other countries, predominantly in the West. According to Business Insider, the state of Minnesota lost 90,000 workers alone during the pandemic, according to state demographers, making it one of the tightest labor markets in the country. Iowa is not far behind, with roughly 75,000 open jobs in December. The proposed bills in the states would allow children to work more hours and protect employers from liabilities due to sickness or accidents, which could help specific industries like construction and meatpacking that are being hit hard in these states. The federal government also created a new rule in January allowing people wishing to be professional truck drivers to obtain their commercial driver's license, CDL, at the age of 18 instead of 21. This was done because, as CNN reports, the head of the American Trucking Association said the industry needed about 80,000 more drivers. The proposal was initially presented by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration in 2020. Safety advocates immediately called the initiative out, saying that inexperienced drivers could put the public at risk, which is perhaps a more salient issue after the East Ohio train disaster. That issue is also primarily related to both deregulation and workers' rights, as the workers of Norfolk Southern, along with others, were pushing for higher pay, sick leave, and more modern braking equipment. Essentially, corporate-backed politicians in the states across the U.S. are seeking to solve the worker shortage by tapping children and not by offering more attractive pay or benefits. This initiative would target children in shaky economic situations, the kind of kids who need to work a job and don't have parents who can afford to give them money. The ethical concerns here are enormous. First of all, U.S. students lag behind peer countries in key metrics. As Pew Research found in a 2017 article, the country's students continue to rank around the middle of the pack and behind many other advanced industrial nations. If the U.S. economy has any hope of surviving in the future in its current iteration, and as an innovation powerhouse, it needs its students to perform better in subjects like math and science. Keeping students in the classroom and doing their homework and not participating in the workforce is a key component to improvement in this area. There are also safety concerns at play here. Minnesota wants to see 16 and 17-year-olds allowed to work in construction, which can be a dangerous job. Iowa wants to see even younger children allowed to work in their meatpacking plants, which at the height of the U.S. coronavirus outbreak saw high caseloads and deaths. It was reported that managers from an Iowa Tyson Foods plant was fired after they were caught playing on which of their employees would contract COVID-19. Children should not be subject to these kinds of abuses, and the federal government has already noted an increase in illegal child labor practices as well as associated injuries. Finally, the main problem in the U.S. is that the proposed bills undermine workers' ability to organize for better pay. The worker shortage has allowed a unique opportunity for workers to leverage labor scarcity for increased wages and benefits. Expanding the workforce to include more teenage children would kneecap those already in their positions and hinder their chances of getting the pay they deserve. This is another example of the abject moral depravity of corporate America and its ability to exploit each and every American for every drop of profit it can muster. If these bills are indeed passed, it will usher in a cascade of similar legislation in Republican-led states across the U.S. and now, once again, how useless American democracy is. Politicians are bought and paid for by employers and their lobbyists, as demonstrated by the Iowa and Minnesota bills. The answer to the labor shortage is not to hearken back to 19th century child labor norms, but to give workers a fair wage, decent working conditions, and basic dignity. It is a lack of these exact things that have, in part, driven the mass exodus of Americans from menial jobs in hopes of finding more lucrative opportunities. They deserve their right to do so, especially if the employers of blue-collar jobs are so unprincipled in utilizing child labor. Guardian had earlier reported more than 100 children have been discovered to be illegally employed by a slaughterhouse cleaning firm across the U.S., federal authorities have said. The Department of Labor announced that a federal investigation found Wisconsin-based Packers Sanitation Services Incorporation, that is PSSI, employed at least 102 children ranging from 13 to 17 years old to work overnight shifts at 13 meat processing facilities in 8 states across the United States. The investigation discovered that children were working with hazardous chemicals and cleaning meat processing equipment, including back saws, brisket saws, and head splitters. At least 3 minors suffered injuries while working for PSSI, one of the country's largest food safety sanitation service providers. The states in which the children were employed include Arkansas, Colorado, Indiana, Kansas, Minnesota, Nebraska, Tennessee, and Texas. The processor which had the largest number of employed minors is JBS Foods, with 27 children employed, followed by Cargill Incorporation, which had 26 employed children.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
The 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
A new round of political maneuvering by the International Atomic Energy Agency has enabled Washington, London, Paris, and Berlin to further pressure Iran towards their ulterior motives. Once again, the IAEA has entangled Iran in a dispute triggered by the agency's Israeli influence accusations, which were leveled against Tehran's peaceful nuclear activities at Fordo Fuel Enrichment Plant located near the Iranian city of Qom. Back in 2018, former U.S. President Donald Trump withdrew the U.S. from the landmark nuclear deal and then unleashed a wave of illegal sanctions on Iran's economy. In response, Tehran has since ramped up uranium enrichment at a considerable pace not seen since the signing of Iran nuclear deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. An ardent opponent of Trump's so-called maximum pressure campaign against Iran, Joe Biden's administration began negotiations to revive the deal when he took office. But Biden's policy has so far failed to resurrect the 2015 accord. The negotiations to salvage the JCPOA have been at a standstill since August 2022 due to Washington's insistence on its hard-nosed position of not removing all the sanctions that were imposed on the Islamic Republic by the previous U.S. administration. Tehran's main demands include guarantees from Washington that future U.S. administrations will not renege on the nuclear accord once again. Iran insists that it wants a stronger language in the draft text to ensure there are no ambiguities. In addition, Iran says any agreement concerning the reviving of the nuclear deal also hinges on the settlement of safeguards issues, and without settling those issues, reviving the 2015 nuclear deal makes no sense. For a closer analysis, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. The Global Nuclear Agency, IAEA, made a confidential report a few days ago, which was leaked by Western media in violation of legal protocols. The IAEA chief reacted to the leakage, saying it was regrettable, but refusing to take responsibility for it. In the report, Grossi had accused Iran of making an undeclared change to the interconnection between the two clusters of advanced machines enriching uranium to up to 60% purity at its Fordo plant. The U.S. and its European allies issued a joint statement following the leakage of the mentioned report, accusing Iran of being inconsistent with its obligations under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
This is, very, very much the nature of the director, and he's very much in the pocket of the Western governments. When the Western governments tell him to do something, he does that. So tomorrow he could be very nice to Iran because of the dictate that he gets, or he could be very harsh to Iran because of the dictate that he gets. And this is sad because the International Atomic Energy Agency is a UN body. It's supposed to be neutral. It shouldn't engage in double standards. The previous directors of the International Atomic Energy Agency were also in line with Western policies against Iran. But Mr. Grossi is gross in terms of how he acts. There is no other way to explain that.
The head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Mohammad Islami, dismissed the report by calling it incorrect and reiterated the fact that the IAEA reports are not published immediately by the media about any country except Iran. He also urged Rafael Grossi to maintain professional behavior and not be part of the politically motivated pressure campaign against the Islamic Republic. The remarks came a week after Iran had criticized the agency over its confidential report, claiming that the accusation came despite a letter sent by Iran to the IAEA back in November, informing the agency of a decision to start enriching uranium to the purity level of 60% at its Fordo nuclear facility, and stating all the modes of enrichment that had been specified in the data questionnaire. Consistently during the January 2023 IAEA inspection, no new measure had happened that was contradictory to the November 17, 2022 questionnaire and would thus make it necessary to inform the IAEA thereof. The latest clash on Fordo comes as IAEA Director General Rafael Grossi had said last month he hopes to visit Tehran in February to hold talks with Iranian officials on the unresolved cases of nuclear particles found years ago at several Iranian sites. Iranian officials have emphasized that any trip by the IAEA head to Iran must have a specific objective in an oblique reference to the UN nuclear agency's political approach. They insist that the trip needs preparations and the content, the aims, and the schedule of which needs to be clearly determined in advance. The agency says that Tehran has to provide technically credible answers to its questions. On its part, Iran accuses the agency of being easily influenced by Israel, a staunch critic of the JCPOA. Therefore, the Iranian officials have demanded that the IAEA probe be dropped before Iran rejoins the nuclear deal.
Mr. Netanyahu is trying to become the main player in this controversy and challenge. Please note that today, when we are talking to each other, both the Americans and Europeans are not satisfied with the negotiations process in this case. And that means they want to take it in a different direction. Why? This is a very important question. The reason is that it is no secret Iran is progressing in the nuclear technology every day. I mean, every day we announce that we have gained this or that achievement. In the next phase, we have another achievement, and all of them will be realized and announced under the supervision of the agency. It is all peaceful. So this was the first point. The next point is that these achievements are not limited to nuclear areas only. They happen every day in military areas and in Iran's missile power.
In June, the IAEA censured Iran for traces of uranium that had been found at three undeclared sites in 2019. Iran dismissed the IAEA motion as politicized and responded by removing surveillance cameras at key sites. Tehran says that the probe is based on forged evidence provided to the IAEA by the Israeli regime. It has slammed the agency for adopting a political approach and forsaking its technical mandate while maintaining that its nuclear program is strictly peaceful.
You know, it is something very amazing that the Israelis engage in assassinating Iranian scientists. They sabotage Iranian sites. They engage in a lot of activities that are against international law. And the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency visits Israel before coming to Iran.
On Iran's side, there is this very important point that time is moving forward in Iran's favor. It means that if one day we were talking about IR-1 or IR-2, today we are talking about more advanced centrifuges. If one day our concern was if we had the permission to establish this or that nuclear plant, today we build various plants under the supervision of the IAEA. If one day we were under pressure about our regular missiles, today they are worried about Iran's long-range missiles.
Iran has time and again rejected accusations of seeking to develop nuclear weapons. The country, which is an abiding member of the NPT, has agreed to put certain limits on its nuclear program by signing the JCPOA and has allowed unprecedented levels of inspections by the IAEA to reassure the world that it is not after nuclear weapons.
Due to the fact that some Western parties and those who were influenced by the Zionists published doubts about our nuclear program, we came to the conclusion to provide appropriate answers to these doubts through cooperation with the agency. We try to continue allowing the IAEA inspectors to monitor our facilities during various programs, both within the framework of the nuclear safeguards and after that during the time when we accepted the JCPOA restrictions and supervisions. We created the possibility of high-level access for the agency in our own nuclear sites, and the IAEA has announced 15 times so far that it has not observed any deviation in Iran's nuclear program.
Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, has also issued a religious decree declaring that the accusation, development, and use of nuclear weapons violate Islamic principles and are therefore forbidden. However, in response to the latest developments in the nuclear case, Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, said, "Despite ill promises and obstructions created by the U.S. and E3, we remain committed to fulfilling our international obligations, but it will be within purely technical frameworks." Adding, "Under such a framework, we remain committed to negotiation to achieve tangible and practical results to first, secure maximum national interest, and second, give care to joint interests with other parties."
The Western parties suspended their commitments in the JCPOA. Contrary to the United Nations resolution, America withdrew from this agreement and did not lift the sanctions. The Europeans also failed to fulfill their obligations. In the same framework, Iran also limited its commitments in a compensatory measure and temporarily limited inspections of the IAEA. Of course, we are of the opinion that if these suspensions end, i.e., the other side is ready to lift the sanctions again, Iran is also ready to return to its obligations and allow the previous monitoring.
Accordingly, the Iranian government insists on negotiations, not merely for the sake of negotiations, but for obtaining collective results and achievements. They are seriously and categorically critical of those who have used negotiations for political and partisan games in the West. Talks to restore the nuclear deal remain deadlocked since September, with the U.S. publicly maintaining that the matter is not important to them anymore, while Tehran claims Washington is secretly sending messages to reach an agreement.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Here's how it looks on the page. The National News reads, IAEA chief touts alternative to Iran nuclear deal to break impasse. The head of the UN's nuclear watchdog has suggested an alternative agreement to the landmark Iran nuclear deal could break the deadlock in talks between the regime and world powers. Rafael Grossi, Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, said the coming weeks and months would be crucial in determining the direction the talks take. Mr. Grossi warned the Chatham House think tank in London on Tuesday against adopting a defeatist approach to the signatory's sluggish efforts to revive the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. "I think in the case of Europe, it is very important that they continue to support us in trying to find a viable way forward, JCPOA or no JCPOA." According to Financial Times, West grapples with dilemma over Iran nuclear talks. The U.S., U.K., and EU imposed new sanctions on dozens of Iranian officials and entities in their latest attempt to increase the pressure on Tehran. The U.K. is also reviewing whether to proscribe the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as a terrorist organization, while the European Parliament has called for the blacklisting of the most powerful wing of the Republic's state security forces. Yet, even as relations touch new lows, U.S. and European officials are keeping the door open to diplomacy to save what is left of the moribund 2015 nuclear deal Tehran signed with world powers. That is not because they are optimistic about a breakthrough. There have been no nuclear talks since Iran rejected a draft proposal to revive the deal agreed by the accord's other signatories in September. Instead, it is a reflection of the dilemma Western powers face as they consider their limited options to stop Iran from expanding its nuclear program. On the one hand, they fear that pulling the plug on the nuclear diplomacy would hand Iran a propaganda victory by enabling it to blame the West for the collapse. They are also weary of triggering a broader crisis by ending all avenues of diplomacy with Tehran, diplomats and analysts say. CNBC says Iranian oil exports end 2022 at a high despite no nuclear deal. Iranian oil exports hit new highs in the last 2 months of 2022 and are making a strong start to 2023 despite U.S. sanctions, according to companies that track the flows on higher shipments to China and Venezuela. There is no definitive figure for Iranian oil exports, and estimates often fall into a wide range. Tanker tracking companies use various methods to track the flows, including satellite data, port loading data, and human intelligence. Iran generally does not release figures. According to another analyst, Vortexa, Chinese December imports of Iranian oil hit a new record of 1.2 million barrels per day, up 130% from a year earlier. Qatari Deputy Premier and Foreign Minister Sheikh Mohammed ibn Abdulrahman Al Thani on January 29th traveled to Iran and met with Chief Diplomat Hossein Amir Abdullahian in the Iranian capital. The U.S. has sent a message to Iran, he cryptically told a press conference in Tehran.
As we got closer to the end of the negotiations, two things happened. The first thing is that these pressures have increased. This is from America and Europe. They increased the pressure, they increased the sanctions, they put more people on the sanctions list, they strengthened different areas that put pressure on Iran. They travel to different countries and talk to the world leaders against Iran. The second thing that we usually witness is the invisible hand of the terrorist groups, which are always ready to serve. I mean, if they can't stop the process of negotiations and the parties are close to yielding results, they try to assassinate someone in Iran. A scientist, do something like this to deviate the negotiations' results. Of course, it should be mentioned that they always pay the price. Every time they assassinate someone here in Iran or do acts of vandalism, Iran responds strongly.
Local media in Iran viewed the American message as somewhat of a victory. On the other hand, some analysts insist that the revival of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, otherwise known as JCPOA, is not a priority for the Joe Biden administration.
Biden administration could return to the agreement on the first day of Biden's presidency, the same way he returned to the Paris Climate Accords. Trump left these international accords through executive orders. Biden could return to these accords, just nullifying the executive order of the previous president. And he did that, but not for JCPOA. Why he didn't return to JCPOA? Because of the disagreements that existed in his administration even before. And what he could do was to return to JCPOA. It was Trump that left it. And then tell Iran, you have 2 months or 3 months to return to the setting that Iran had before Trump left the agreement. Easy solution. You don't need negotiations. You don't need 2 years of dragging your foot, you could just return to the agreement. And when Biden became president, Rouhani was in office in Iran. Rouhani was even more interested in returning to the agreement.
Without elaborating, the Qatari foreign minister stated that he was carrying a message from the U.S. about a topic related to the 2050 nuclear agreement. Amir Abdullahian confirmed that he had received the message, but did not say what it entailed.
The United States could do things to show that they're actually serious about observing the guidelines of JCPOA. For example, the one thing that needs to happen after the agreement, if U.S. returns to the agreement, is that you have companies, international companies, that want to come and invest in Iran. And if companies think that they will face sanctions in a few months, for a couple of years after Biden leaves office, then they may not come because of this uncertainty. Again, it doesn't make sense for Iran to follow the agreement if the next president does what Trump did. And who knows, you know, we have people like Mike Pompeo who are planning to run. John Bolton is planning to run. So obviously these people, Trump may come back to the White House. We never know.
The Iranian foreign minister told reporters that he had complained to his Qatari counterpart about the unconstructive role and interventionist measures of the U.S., Britain, France, and Germany during the recent unrest in Iran. Local newspapers saw the American message as a sign that the West had lost faith in the potential for success of the recent unrest in Iran. Some accused the West of hypocrisy and insisted that the so-called Plan B to pressure the Islamic Republic into agreeing to restore the JCPOA had failed.
There is another event that has actually changed the political arrangement about nuclear negotiations a bit, and that is the result of the events that started in mid-September. This was very decisive. Everyone noticed that when the riots broke out in Iran and conditions became volatile, the speed of the negotiations process dropped sharply and almost came to a halt. The reason was that the other side felt Iran was in an unstable condition politically and the government has lost its nation's support. It was a key moment and big lesson for the Iranian nation. Negotiations practically froze. It is not the first time, however, that we experienced something like this. In the previous rounds of negotiations, whenever anything happened in Iran, they would immediately stop negotiations, hoping that such unrest can force Iran into giving more concessions. This is how they think, but they need to know that it will never happen, and Iran will never succumb to such pressures.
Tehran has repeatedly indicated that negotiation and diplomacy with the ultimate objective of achieving joint interests and securing maximum benefits for the Iranian nation are placed high on its agenda.
From my point of view, negotiations can be concluded very quickly. The negotiations have reached the stage where the draft text is almost ready, except for one or two paragraphs on the issue of cooperation between Iran and the agency. The rest of the issues are close to a conclusion, and for this reason, we think that if the other party has a realistic approach and is ambitious, it's possible to reach the result faster. The thing that interrupted the negotiations has political backgrounds, and the other side can be blamed for it on this matter.
Within the framework of Iran's foreign policy doctrine, in terms of dynamic diplomacy and smart interaction, Iran has prioritized the view to Asia as well as the immediate neighbors as its main approach. Yet, Tehran has made serious efforts concurrently to enhance cooperation with Africa, Europe, the Americas, including Latin America. The government believes that Europe is not made up of only three countries that have acted unfriendly towards Iran, especially in recent months. In fact, the establishment seeks to expand relations worldwide as part of the agenda to advance its interests. In light of the recent IAEA moves, some independent political analysts have observed that, unfortunately, instrumental use of international organizations against independent countries has turned into a norm in the West's foreign policy.
When we provide this level of access to the agency investigators, this level of preparedness and response to the agency questions, why does the agency keep asking new questions? How long are these new questions going to be raised? From our point of view, more cooperation should lead to a greater understanding, but what has happened so far is that we cooperate, we provide opportunities for the agency's secretariat, and they always raise questions. This approach is not fair and strongly frowned upon by the Iranian nation. The agency's recent report was in the same framework.
One side of the story, there is Netanyahu, who is trying to influence the director general of the IAEA, a person who has apparently become the agent of these political events. On the other side, America and Europe are not willing to confront Iran and have come to the understanding that such conflicts never benefit them. What they want today is to freeze and stop Iran's actions. They don't seek to shut down Iran's nuclear program because they know that they don't have the power. They want to reach an agreement that will at least convince Iran to suffice to this extent of enrichment, so that Iran does not go further. Another side of the story is Iran. In Iran, no one has any objection to sitting behind the negotiating table. However, according to the same principles that have been set many times, we are not negotiating over new issues under the pretext of JCPOA. We are not negotiating on the regional issues or Iran's missile power.
In the meantime, in reaction to EU's chief diplomat Joseph Borrell's recent remarks about the revival of the JCPOA, Iran has made it clear that it would return to its commitments under the nuclear deal whenever the parties to the JCPOA fulfill their obligations. Iran has proven in the past that it will never give in to pressure and will go on with its peaceful nuclear program proportionate to its own needs and in line with its rights and obligations under international treaties to which it is a member. As an effective and responsible member of the agency and the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and as a country possessing nuclear capabilities, nuclear knowledge, and nuclear technology, the Islamic Republic of Iran has always cooperated seriously and effectively with the agency. Enemies of the Islamic Republic attempt to show that Iran does not need nuclear technology and claim that Iran is seeking atomic bombs. However, the Iranian nuclear chief has categorically rejected the enemy's claims that the country does not need nuclear technology for peaceful purposes and seeks to achieve military weapons. In an interview with a local media during the inauguration ceremony of the Nariqan uranium mine, Islami said Iran's recent nuclear achievements are meant to be used in the health, medical, environmental, and industry sectors, reiterating the peaceful nature of the country's uranium enrichment activities. Also, Islami described Nariqan mine as the biggest uranium-molybdenum mine in the country and said that creating the capacity with the aim of expanding nuclear power production and application of radiation are among the major goals pursued by the AEOI as part of the Comprehensive Strategic Plan for the Nuclear Industry. That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do tune in again, same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Bye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again with some of the students of Sevier International School, Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, Hussein.
Wa alaikum salam.
Are you fine, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah.
I'm so glad to have you here. Ali Nasir, how are you? Fine, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah, sir. What about you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. I'm good, alhamdulillah. How about Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are
Fine?
You?
Fine?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. So, brothers, welcome. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters who are with IRB English Radio right now, please, we recommend you stay with us till the end of this session, inshallah. So, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir, today we will talk about, of course, Ayah 14 of Surah Ali Imran, right?
Yes.
On page?
Yes.
51. So, brothers and sisters, I kindly request you, if you have your Quran, open the Quran, turn to page 51, Ayah 14 of Surah Ali Imran. We'll have a recitation, we'll have a short explanation about it, and then we'll talk about the important tajweed rules. Let's listen once to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Zuyyina lin-nasi hubbush shahawati minan nisaa'i wal banin والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب.
That was great, yeah? Alhamdulillah. Now we will do such a great recitation, inshallah. I'll try, okay? I'll recite. Make sure Ali Nasir, Hussein and Hassan, you repeat and practice. Our brothers and sisters, of course, they will practice. They love practicing Quran with us. So, let's go on. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة
زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة
والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث
والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث
ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب
ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب
أحسنت ما شاء الله. Do you love to have a wife? You don't laugh. Come on, Ali Nasir.
On its time.
Yeah, in the exact time, inshallah, when you... Yeah, you understand that. I don't want to talk about it. So... Do you love to have, like, children? Of course, everyone loves. Yeah? Even if those who are so kind of have objections of economical issues, but of course they love to have.
Yes.
And do you love to have, like, buildings? Yeah, yes. Say yes. I love to have buildings. Okay, good. How about gold, silver, money?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Hussein?
No.
Come on. Okay. Ali Nasir, how about you? What about having, like, cars?
Sir, buildings I don't like to have. And gold is also not allowed for men, so...
No, I don't mean, like, you wear gold, okay? Like, yeah, you should have gold.
So what? Coins. What do you want to do with gold?
Coins. Oh, that's wealth.
Oh.
Yeah, you can change it to money. You can get cash. Bank account, full bank account. Do you love it or no? Do you love it or like it?
Like it.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yes.
How much do you like it? A lot. So, forget it. So, yeah, like, you want to have lands, yes? A lot of people love this.
Yes.
Okay. So, of course, yeah, these are things that we have in the dunya. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ Allah Almighty says, to mankind, it has been made to seem decorous, the world. Things. What things have been made decorous, okay? Like women, children, قَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ accumulated piles of gold and silver, خَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ like horses, like livestock, like farms, these things have been made decorous. There are things that Allah Almighty wants to test our belief, our the strength of our belief. These are things that we wish. These are our desires. Yes? Of course, people work a lot, work hard to get some, to get married. To gather, to get some money, to collect some money and to get married. And then to buy a car, to buy a house. These things are, yeah, in the dunya you can have them. But in the akhirah you don't have them. You have better ones. You have things that you were wishing the whole time but you couldn't get in this world. The car, for example, the building, or whatever. You want to have in this world, you can't have, okay? Even if you have, you want more, better ones, yes? In the Day of Judgment, in the Qiyamah, when everyone is judged, when you go to heaven, inshallah, you will have them, better ones. But what can, look, there's one thing. If you have a strong feeling with these kind of things, with the cars, with your desires. Of course, you will be deprived of the worship of Allah Almighty. You will be deprived of the better ones that you will get in the heavens. So what can help us have like a low kind of feeling with this? We shouldn't be so much, what do you call it, related, so much in love with these things. What can help us not to have so much love of this one, desire of this one, these things? The love of Allah Almighty, the worship of Allah Almighty. They believe in the Day of Judgment. They believe in the heavens. If you believe in the heavens, if you believe in the rewards that Allah Almighty will give you, of course you will not be so much in love with these kind of things. These kind of things will not be important. Of course, we need to maintain our life, okay? But yeah, there are people who maintain, who like every single moment, okay, they think about these things. Come on, stop these things. This will deprive you from the rewards that Allah Almighty will. So, it will give you on the Day of Judgment in the heavens. Guys, yeah, the interpretation is a lot, okay? You need to learn about this. It's very difficult to get rid of these kind of feelings, but it's possible, okay? Inshallah. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. I really tried to explain shortly. Maybe I hope, inshallah, I have given you something from this ayah. But I want you to refer to the Tafasir book to get knowledgeable, to get more information about this ayah, okay? There are a lot of things to talk about. It's a very difficult topic also. How to be a mu'min person while we have a lot of desires. So this is important. Guys, let's move on with the tajweed rules. Some important tajweed rules we'll mention, then inshallah we'll finish this session. The very first tajweed rule, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ نُون مُشَدَّت. The tashdeed is important. زُيِّنَ, زُيِّنَ, no. If you say زُيِّنَ, it has a meaning. زُيِّنَ has another meaning. زُيِّنَ has an emphasize. Mm-hmm. Okay? زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ لِلنَّاسِ نُون مُشَدَّت.
Yes.
حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ تَشْدِيد also here. حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Wow is having a fatha, right? And also there is a baby alif on the top. So make straight the sound. شَهَوَاتِ, right?
Yes.
مِنَ النِّسَاءِ نُن مُشَدَّد. مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ Nun sakin, muqantara. Nun sakin plus ta. Ta is a heavy letter. Muqantara. Ta, heavy letter. Ikhfa, do the ikhfa with a heavy letter, yes? Muqantara. Muqantara. As if there is a ta. Muqantara. For real. For real, yes. There is a ta, but let your listener understand, okay, that there is a ta. مُقَنْطَرَ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ ذَا الْضَى. The pronunciation are a bit different. Do not mix them. مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَا خَا خَيْلِ خَيْلِ A sound, but with heavy letter. خَيْلِ A sound, right? مُسَوَّمَاتِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ An'am, we clearly read the noon sound. Why?
Idhar
is applied. The letter Ayn is a heavy letter, a throat letter, and the rule Idhar says, while we in Muqantara, while we were hiding the sound of noon, yes?
Yes.
But here we do not hide the sound. Idhar is applied. Wal harf, harf, ra. Qila tells you you can stop, but it's better to. Qila tells you what? The sign Qila there is written on the top of Harf.
Better to stop.
Better to stop. But you can continue, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What does Salah say there, down there?
Better to continue.
Better to continue, but you can stop still. So they are just opposite, right? Yes. Qila tells you, you can stop. Salah tells you, you can stop. But Qila tells you, it's better to?
Stop.
Stop. Better to stop.
Yeah.
Salah tells you?
Better to continue.
Yes, continue.
So, two options you have, but one is better. In Qila, stopping is better. In Sila, continuing is better. So, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Look, guys, dunya is one of those... you have nun sakin plus ya. So you should merge, yes? إِدْغَام. يَرْمَلُونَ letters. دُيَا. Right?
Yeah.
Are you sure? دُيَا. Of course, the rule says yes. Nun sakin plus ya.
Yeah.
Ya from يَرْمَلُونَ letters.
إِدْغَام.
إِدْغَام. Read it. ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا.
ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا.
Have you ever heard dunya?
No.
وَالدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Dunya وَالْآخِرَةِ. Have you ever heard dunya?
No.
No.
Or did dunya?
Why is it dunya?
So it's not dunya then. If you remember, this was an exceptional
case.
Dunya, bunyan.
That's correct.
Bunyan,
sinwan,
qinwan. Yeah, these were exceptional cases.
Yes.
So you don't do idgham. If you do idgham, the meaning changes.
So I shouldn't.
Yeah, you should not.
Oh.
ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Not duya. Remember, this is an exceptional case.
Yes.
وَاللَّهُ. Allah, heavy sound. عنده نون ساكن دال إخفاء. You'll know that. عنده, but stretch the sound. عنده. Wow, baby, wow is there. I mean, the small wow. حسن المآب. باق القلب. So, Hussein, do you have any questions? We mentioned the important Tajweed rules, yeah?
Yes.
There's nothing left. So, inshallah, yeah. Practice them well. Thank you so much for being with us, brothers and sisters. Thanks so much for being with IRB English Radio. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio. Next session, inshallah, will be here with you. Thanks to Ali Nasir. Thanks to Fawad Haider, who is absent today. Thanks to Hassan and thanks to Hussein. See you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio. This is IRI.